I want us to jump in here. I want to pick up a little bit from recapping a little bit what we did last week. I've just kind of called this series The Prize, and just look at the person next to you. You are the prize. You are the prize. There's no question about it. In God's eyes, you're the prize. And, of course, in your eyes, He's the prize, if you know what I'm talking about. If you know love the Lord the way that the love of the Lord gets in you. It's an amazing thing about love anyway. You know, phileo is a word for love. And phileo is a mutual interest kind of a thing. But agape is the most amazing thing, because agape love is a love that's completely unselfish and completely benefits another. And it's a love that God gives us. And for us to demonstrate agape, we got to go to God and get it. God is the source of agape love. God is the source of unselfish love. And we go to Him to get it. And that kind of leads us into, I want us to, if you would, if you have your Bible there, go ahead to look, before we look at this scripture, let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. I want to just recap just a second here. Ephesians chapter 4 from last week, starting with 11 on to about 16. And He Himself gave some to be prophets, some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God has a target for you and I. And it's not just any kind of wishy-washy target. It's very pristine, very, very focused target. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knitted together by every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. This is the picture. God says, I'm going to give you some guys working their lives. I'm going to help them equip you. We looked at the word equip means to help reset a bone, which is kind of a painful thing at times. But there's other goals that the Lord has. And the goal is that you become a life-giving member of the body, a life-giving member. Say this with me. Your dysfunction can very much become your destiny. The place of your greatest mess up can be best message of God's grace, the message of God's grace, from mess to message. You're the biggest test you've ever worked your way through can become the testimony of your life. And the Lord says, look, everybody comes broken. Everybody comes out of joint. Everybody comes. Not everybody comes just set in place just perfectly. I know I didn't. It's taken time, right? And how much you know God has a tad bit of patience. How many of you realize that God has been working with His children a long time? Centuries have gone by. He's been dealing with all of us down here. I don't think you're coming up with a new problem. I don't think you have anything new to bring to the table that He can't solve. I think it's pretty much all been done. Right? And He comes and brings wholeness to us. And He has this whole idea that He wants you to be full grown. And that whole idea of the perfect man or mature man means, which is where the teleos, where Pastor Larry Titus has a book, The Teleos Man. Teleos means full grown. It means that there's a point of completion. Now listen to this, guys. That there is a completion in the sense that you know who you are in Christ, and that's done. And you're not going back. That's not an option anymore. That's a completed work. That you know who you are with Him. And that you're not tossed to and fro like a child who can't articulate their faith, because you can articulate the faith that you have in Christ Jesus. And you understand the fullness of what He's provided for you. And in the name of Jesus, would you take somebody's hand? I wanted to do this earlier. I know we kind of did. But I say, Lord, Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus for every young person in the faith that has come of recent date and is struggling to be here now. We pray for those who are tossed to and fro, who can't really articulate their faith, that are struggling. We ask, Lord, for their souls, that You would cause them to be stabilized, that You would do a work in them and cause them to know the depth and the value of their life and to You, and that they would not have seeing their problem bigger than seeing You. We ask, Father, for the work of darkness to be broken every methodology he's used to bring them under, that you'd burst them out of the captivities and establish them. And we pray for all of them. There's some people popping in your head right now. Just go ahead and claim them. Claim the completed work of Jesus in them. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Now, if you would, just go back over to Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm going to read through verses 3 through around 11 or so. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." Wow. This word blessing simply means to speak well of. You know what it's where we get the word eulogy for at a funeral? You know what this is? This is God is saying, I want to eulogize you before you're dead. I want to speak well of you way before you hit the ground. Way before I put you down, I want to talk good to you now. And continually speak blessings to you while you're living. Isn't that good? To speak well of you now. How many of you need at least one person that speaks good stuff to you? And the Lord is saying, I'm blessing you. I'm the blessed one. Blessed be the God and Father. We worship him who has blessed us with all every spiritual blessing. And he says, just as he chose you in him. Let's continue. Just as he chose you in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure. Would somebody just say good pleasure right there? It's amazing that when you start talking about the word will is all wrapped up in the idea of a pleasure, not a command. This just the word will, the thelema word. And this is all about good pleasure. When it says good pleasure, it's talking about good pleasure. That God is happy to pull all this off for you. This is not a drudgery to God. He is really, really tickled pink. Could you imagine God tickled pink? Isn't that funny? God is tickled pink. This is a great good pleasure for him. It was a suffering that he went through to accomplish it. We'll look at all this. But the good pleasure of his will, he's purposed it in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one, all the things in Christ, which are both in heaven and earth, In him we have obtained an inheritance. Go ahead and say inheritance. I'll get back to that. Being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. There it is again. To the praise of his glory. To the praise of his glory. Now I want to go ahead and look at the top of the notes there. Coming to Christ is about complete transformation. A metamorphosis makeover, all empowered by God. How many of you know what a metamorphosis is? It's when the little old caterpillar turns into a beautiful butterfly. Go ahead and tell the person next to you. It's really an inside job. It is. It's an inside job. This is not a makeover on the outside. This is a metamorphosis makeover on the inside. And coming to Christ is all about an inside metamorphosis makeover. That's what it is. It's about that. So it says, the big question, it's all empowered by God. The question is, will you receive all that he has done for you? This is a big question because I see this as a real struggle for so many. Will you actually receive what Jesus has done? Will you receive all that he has actually completed for you and done for you? And here's, look at this. You need to see yourself the way he sees you. I'm telling you, when you start seeing yourself the way he sees you, you change. Because he thinks better of you than you ever have of yourself. You know, people who are arrogant, they're really insecure. They really don't have a fair assessment of themselves, or they wouldn't be arrogant. They're making up for something. I'm not talking about being big-headed. I'm talking about knowing squarely who you are to Daddy God. Because of all that Jesus has done. And to look at yourself from his eyes, this is incredible. Transformational. Every time somebody in the Bible that Jesus spoke to and gave them a whole new, when it, like changing Peter's, you know, changing Simon's name to Peter the Rock, it's transformational. He speaks down into the midst of us. There are things that God has spoken to many of you in the room that are truths and secrets and prophetic promises, all kinds of things that are still in there. And this seems to be, there's a season we're in that God's literally going, okay, now it's time for this to pop up. Okay, now it's time for this to pop up. Now it's time for this to rise up. Now it's time for this to rise up. It's a new day. It's a new time. But you have to see yourself the way He sees you, or you won't do it. I'm telling you, we're going to move from pathetic to prophetic. Because there's things, look, you already have the spirit of prophecy on your life. You already got that. If you're in Jesus Christ, you already got that. Are you going to use it negatively over your soul? Are you going to use it right? Are you going to speak the things that God says? Or are you going to do the things that you, the same old junk that you've been saying? You have to say what God says. See yourself the way He sees you in speaking that. That's blessing. And it's not arrogant. And it's not cocky. It's just being a son. It's being a daughter of God. So He says, He has delivered you from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son. So here we go. Number one, in His eyes you have moved from sinner to saint. Whoa, yeah, whoa, yeah, whoa, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm very aware of all the capacity to sin, but the Lord doesn't look at us this way. Why would He? What kind of a dad would you be if you're always pulling up the negative things of your kids and throwing them in their face? Never encouraging them, always pointing out what they're wrong. Pathetic. That's not Father God's heart. That's not the way He is. He speaks blessings over you. He speaks good wishes over you. He speaks things that lift you up. I'm telling you, look, let's get away with the religion. Just flush the religion junk out of here. Have a relationship with Jesus, and you'll find out that God is actually playful too. He's encouraging, and He's a joyful person to be with. Oh man, some of the best stuff that you can ever hear will be little whisperings that the Holy Spirit speaks to you about yourself and about life, and you go, and they're just designed for you, and they last and last and last, don't they? When the Lord says stuff to you, it's like, I was going to get into a few of them, but we'll keep going here. Okay, Ephesians 4:1. Even as He chose us in Him, this idea of choosing here, this word, all it has to do with this hope that God has that He would pick somebody that actually would want to be with Him. And it's not to reject anybody else when He does the picking. It doesn't have that in there. It's not about rejecting someone else to pick you, rejecting you to pick somebody else. It doesn't have anything to do with that. But it has to have to do with selection. I've chose you in Him. I've chose you in Him before the foundation of the world that He should be holy. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but the word holy is the same word for saint. It's the same exact word. Hagios is the same word. That's amazing to me. Hagios, up in the first where it says, to the saints who are in Ephesus, it's the same exact word. And now later He's saying that you would be holy. It's the same word. You know what this word is wrapped up in? Hagios, hagiadzo. It's where you get the word sanctify. In essence, this is the picture buried in the word. The picture buried in the word is this. That you come out from the defilement of the world. That's the first half. The second half is that you come into a place of chaste purity in Him. So if it's not possible, He wouldn't be saying it could be done. It's possible because it's an inward metamorphosis. In this word, without blame before Him, it's really about internal blemish. You're blemish-free internally. Wow. Blemish-free internally. Why would God say these things if they couldn't be? Why would He declare these things if they couldn't be? You need to see yourself the way God sees you. God sees you blemish-free internally on the inside. He sees you completely free and holy, set apart for Him, and you're His. That's how He sees it. That's how He sees it. Oh, but you don't know me. Hey, look, you don't know me. And you can always negate all the good by bringing up your past and condemning yourself on your terms. But I'm just going to ask you, like Dr. Phil, how's that working out for you? It's not working out for you. You want to change your life, you change your words. You come into agreement with the way the Lord sees you. Is that right? There's something going on right now that the Lord is sowing a seed into some hearts. And you're actually going, this time it changes. Is it you? Somebody, I felt that real just strong. Right now, the Lord's saying, you've heard this before, but this time you believe it. This time we're changing. This time we're moving on. This time it's making sense to you. This time it's registering deeply. This time when hell backlashes, you go, oh, no, and you'll know what to do. You'll rise up. This is different. Hallelujah. Just go ahead and elbow somebody and say, use some good soil. Use some real good soil. Use some good soil. So don't, I used to be just a bunch of bad dirt, but I'm good soil now, I'll tell you. Isn't that right? You have to have a condition of your heart made manifest before the Lord so His seed can go in and produce. Before Him in love. And then Ephesians 1:7, in Him we have redemption through His blood. And of course the word redemption is simply just plain and simple. This is kind of the picture of it. You're in captivity and there's a price paid because you're held ransom. Now, the devil wasn't holding us ransom asking for a price. You know how like the Sandinistas and different people down in those other countries, they get somebody and they pull them and they put them and then they ask for a ransom and you pay like $1 million to get your relative back. Satan's not, he never wanted to give them up. He wouldn't ask for it. But the Lord knew the ransom. And this is the ransom. The ransom is the blood inside of Jesus' body. And blood is what makes you alive. We use the term blood shed. It means there's a lot of death. When blood leaves the body, you're dead. And when blood left the body of Jesus, being poured out for you. Let's put it this way. How valuable are you? Let me go ahead and assess your value. You're worth the blood of the Son of the living God. You need to see yourself the way He sees you. And you'll fare far better. You're redeemed out of captivity. Sinner broken out of the power of sin. The power of sin. That's the riches of this grace. The riches is that the abundance of it is that He's taken the power and broken the power. You're still living in the presence of sin. Not until our bodies leave this earth and we're redeemed in eternity are we gone from the presence of sin. But the power to rule over you is broken through the redeeming blood of Jesus. And He says, because it's forgiveness. What is forgiveness? Forgiveness is the sending away. Nobody can send away sin but Jesus. He can forgive and wash it away. He can tell it, get out of here. Sin, the power of sin is broken under Him. Under Him. And what is sin? This particular word, I thought it was another word. It's not. It's the one. It came to mean this. It started with the word fault. Forgive your faults. Okay? And it was ones that if you have fault, then you have a lot of guilt or not. It doesn't matter how guilty you are over it. It's just a fault. God forgives your fault. And then it kind of grew in its meaning. Then it came to mean whatever serious thing that you've done that's really, really super bad, or just the stuff that you just didn't intend to do. It covers the whole scope. That His forgiveness washes away all sin, whether you intended it or not. Come on, man. How good can you get? So you're so valuable that He didn't spend $1 billion. He sent His Son. Because $1 billion ends in this life. But the eternal life is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And you have eternal life through the shed blood of Jesus and the removal of all your sin. You know what grace is all about? The abundance of grace is all about? Is that not only does He take away the burden of the sin, but now you have joy given to you. It's when the joy comes in that you know that you got the grace. The grace is the impartation of the joy. Grace, charis, is from the word kara, which is joy. Isn't that amazing? They tie these all together. That if you don't have the joy, you didn't get the grace. Joy is the proof that the burden is released. And that's the good thing that you've received in Him. Let's just go ahead and do a little dance. I have been redeemed from by the blood of the Lamb. And I am freed from the power of sin. That means you can become whole. Now this is just the first point. We become from sinners to saints. Go ahead and see yourself as God's prized possession. Come here, my little saint. Tell somebody next to you your name and say saint in front of it. Go ahead. Saint. I'm Saint Roger. Saint Rosemary has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Saint Eddie. Aren't you glad your name's not Bernard today? That happened at another church we're at. The guy turned and he starts sheepishly looking around. What's your name? He says, well, my first name's Bernard. I don't want to say. But St. Lisa, how it's good to see you today. Holy, chaste, pure, in God's eyes, without blemish internally, set apart, forgiven completely, ransomed by Jesus Christ's blood, all your sins washed away, joy put in its place. This is who you are. From sinner to saint. Wow. Praise the Lord. Number two. In His eyes you have moved from orphan to son. Just getting happy in here. From orphan to son. He's predestined us for adoption. Predestined us for adoption. He has a hope. The concept of predestination is always tied to actually an object. It's not tied to God kind of like predestined all the some people and not others. It's not that way at all. That's a confused theology. He's predestined us for adoption. He's predestined us for specific things, to the praise of His glory. He's specifically predestined you to bring glory to Him. He's predestined you that you would know Him, to be conformed into His likeness. Those are the things that He's predestined, see. He's predestined you. And this is a really wonderful word. Let's get through it here. The word adoption is a combination of two words. It's huios, which is the word son. And it's this crazy little word, tithemi. Tithemi. Now, tithemi is a derivative of theo, and there's theos. So theos is the noun, which is God. Theo, it means to place. And in the heathen term for God was, they used the term theo, the one who places people. That's how they, God says, yeah, that's me. I'll just go ahead and take that from the heathens and make that my term. It works, right? He places you where, right? It works, right? And a derivative from that is the tithemi, and it's son. Now, remember, what's wrapped up in son? Son is a qualifying term that you represent the spirit of the Father and represent the characteristics of the Father, represent the nature of the Father. Different from the word technon for child, which means you're just birthed of that person. This one is you represent that person. Now, adoption means that you have the potential because He's now declared you a son. And He's placed you in your position in His family. That you can become what He's intended you to become. So it doesn't matter where you came from. When you're adopted into His family, you now have a new DNA, a new spiritual capacity to become what you never could in your own family. He can negate. You know, it's a beautiful thing. He can negate all the negative influence of the past through the spirit of adoption. All of it. You know where we got orphans? Adam. Adam was clothed in the glory of God and his wife. Her name was not Eve at the time. That's her orphan name. It was woman. Womb to man. Man with a womb. Whoa, man. And they sinned. And the glory that clothed them came away. They left. The clothes came off. You can tell who the orphans are in third world countries by the kids that don't have any clothes. They're uncovered. Orphans are uncovered. And the first thing an orphan tries to do is to cover himself. And Adam and Eve grabbed some fig leaves. And they tried to sew up and make a covering. And orphans are always trying to find a way to cover themselves. But then God adopts you. And Jesus said, guys, after he breathed on them the Holy Spirit, he said, now you go and you wait in the upper room until I send some clothes. You'll be empowered. Get this. Endued with power. You look in the original word, it means clothed. You'll be reclothed. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh. Put on the clothes. The Spirit of God comes to reclothe you so that you don't have to make up something to cover yourself anymore, like an orphan. An orphan always thinks it all depends on me. God's not here. Yeah, I have to do it all. A son goes, Dad's got good plans. I wonder how he's going to work this out. I have exceeding great and precious promises whereby I become a partaker of his very nature. Everything that he is, he's planned for me. And you know, I was thinking, do I want to put this in here now or not? Oh, I'll just go ahead and throw it in. When it says inheritance, this just stuck me. The word inheritance is based on the word to cast lots. I'm going, inheritance, right there in the Bible, your spiritual inheritance is from the word casting lots. Now, that's it's like you hit the lotto. Okay? Spiritually speaking. And then my mind flashed to the soldiers at the foot of the cross. And they were going for the robe. And one of them hit the lotto and got the robe of Jesus. One of those orphan soldiers got the robe of Jesus. He got the clothes of Jesus. Isn't that something? And you get it spiritually. You get the covering. You're not uncovered anymore. From orphan to son. For he's not given us a spirit of fear unto bondage. Again unto bondage. He's given us a spirit of adoption. Whereby we cry, Daddy, 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 Abba God, Abba Father. Amen? Amen. Number three. In his eyes you move from what? Glory to glory. So where you start when you say yes to Jesus, you move right into a level of glory. And there's two different times just in the first chapter of Ephesians where it says, to the praise of the glory of his grace. And the word glory is a word that starts. It's a really interesting word because it's just, it really involves, so I'll try to just make it super simple. But it starts with the word to think or to have an opinion or a judgment. So we use it to say, let's say, any person like a sports figure or a rock star or someone in politics, or someone who's, and the pomp and circumstance, or the, it's all outward. So those, that's an outward glory, okay? So we see the big stuff, and you know, oh, look, they're in all their glory, you know, and all their fans are there cheering, and that's a, but that's not the nature of the glory here. The glory here is a little different. Do you want to hear how? To understand the glory right here, you have to go take a walk with Jesus up a mountain. With Peter and James and John. And we go up this mountain. And then suddenly, the Lord's face is altered. And his face shines like the sun. And his clothes become as bright. It's light. And Jesus Christ, who's God in flesh, peels back his flesh. And that's the word metamorphosis. Jesus says, I got to just take a moment. I've been living in this body, but I'm God Almighty. And what's inside of me is what I want on the inside of you. That this great light come in you. And that's the story. The story is always about this great light that's in the heart of Jesus Christ, in the heart of Father God, live in you. There's levels and degrees of glory. You remember back there in Genesis? When it says that there was light that illuminated the... And yet the sun wasn't made yet. And the stars weren't made yet. But there was light. This is where it came from. And then God made the sun and he made the stars. And he made them to rule the day and the night and all that stuff. And put seasons in place. If you want to see a good one, go to Revelation 21, verse 23. Hallelujah. A little runny up here. Revelation 21, 23. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine in it. For what? For what? For the glory. For the glory, the internal life of God shines it, creates the light, gives it light. We don't need the sun and the stars. We have the light of God, the glory of God. And its lamp is the Lamb. I saw that about the glory of God. And this is the part, further down in there you see this. Nowhere can anybody see Father God lest they die. Guess when you can see Father God? When death and hell are thrown into the lake of fire and death is no more, then Daddy will come out.
Hallelujah.
And we will all see him. We're going to see Daddy. Who's your daddy? Up to this point, if you see him, you die. So Jesus came to reflect who he was. But one day, you're going to see Daddy, Father God, the Spirit of adoption that has cleaned the slate and made you a son of the living God, full of the capacity to hear his voice, to share his heart, to be the influencer in the culture. That's come upon you and me. Does anybody feel good like I do? Let's set everything aside just for a minute. Hallelujah. I want you to understand with all of my heart, I want you to understand that it's God's passion that you see yourself the way he sees you. Now, the moment I said that, I sensed the Lord, something of the Lord, desire, the Lord's desire, to whisper to your heart. Let's go ahead and declare that during this winter season, we will be the people of the whisper. We will listen to the voice of Father God through the Holy Spirit to us. Our minds are renewed. by the word of the living God. You need to hear the whisper to renew the spirit of your mind. There's a heartache that God would express of sadness when you don't believe about yourself the way he does. He's patient and he puts up with it. Do you know where grief comes from? The Holy Spirit can grieve. He grieves not because, you know, just like if you have somebody die in your family, but you'll see them in heaven, your relationship with them didn't change, but your fellowship with them did. You no longer have fellowship with them. Does it make sense? So when you sin, fellowship is broken. And the Holy Spirit grieves the relationship because now the fellowship is gone. That's where grief comes from. But when you know who you are and you realize all the capacity that God has put in your heart to see and perceive who you, how special, how valuable, how honored you are to be His, you don't want to grieve Him. Is that right? Hallelujah. Well, Father God, we just surrender afresh our hearts. So I ask that you would speak to us, continually speak to us, continually speak to us. Lord, you, in the whole room here, you have your saints who are no longer orphans but sons. You've been bringing them from one level of glory to another, and there's something so profound that now there's a new level. This season is to bring people to a new level. There's a new level of hearing. There's a new level of perceiving. There's a new level of partnering. There's a new level of fellowship. There's a new level of spiritual capacity. There's a new level of faith. There's a new level of the gifts of the Spirit. There's a new level of encouragement flowing like a river. There's a new level coming. Hallelujah. Receive it, guys. Receive it. Jesus says, I've put my clothes on you. You're no longer uncovered. I put my glory back on you. You're covered. You're covered. If there's something that needs repentance, go ahead. It's the joy of the Lord to forgive and to empower you to cease whatever that is. Let's pray. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him right now. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you, Lord. I just thank you by faith. I just thank you for a recommitment of a spiritual passion that may have lost its luster. That there be a new rising up in these days to be the Lord's and not the world's. Hallelujah. One other word. Just keep your eyes closed. One other word. I want to give you an opportunity to repent for complaining. Complaining is prophecy that invites. It's the prophecy of an orphan that brings darkness into the scene. Complaining is the prophetic voice of an orphan inviting the dominion of darkness into their life. But sons prophesy life. They prophesy what the Lord says. If there's been anything in your mouth of complaining, allow the Lord to wash it away right now. Invite Him to cleanse your tongue. Cleanse your heart from the spirit of the orphan that would complain. And let Him establish in you the completeness of who He declares you to be. Is anybody in here rejoicing in your heart? It's like some of the patterns of the tongue are being like cars linked up on a train headed down the wrong track. And the Lord has got one of them turnaround places, and you can get your car off of that thing, and you can hook up to the praise engine and go in a brand new direction. to the praise of the glory of His grace. So let the glory happen in your life. Change your communication. Begin speaking that edifying word. Amen. Hallelujah. We're all over the map here today. It's all good. Let's go ahead and stand together. Have those on the platform come on up. We're going to step into a time of fellowship in a minute. I just want to tell you, I love you guys. Hallelujah. Man, it just feels good to be with God in the house, doesn't it? Thank you, Jesus. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.